Okay, so in the last class, we were talking about the difference between the... So we were learning about how... there's a difference between the mitzvahs that were performed before the giving of the Torah and after the giving of the Torah. And even before the giving of the Torah, there's a difference between the mitzvahs that Hashem gave to the 70 nations of the world and the mitzvahs that Hashem gave to the Jewish people. Remember this? So, for example, we're talking about how the Rambam writes in his explanation of Mishnayos and Chulin that the reason we perform mitzvahs, even the mitzvahs that Hashem gave to our patriarchs, is not because of the commandments He gave to them, but because Moshe Rabbeinu at Mount Sinai, He gave us these commandments. So, for example, the reason we circumcise ourselves is not because Hashem told Avram to circumcise himself. It's rather because Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu on Mount Sinai that the Jewish people should circumcise themselves. The reason we're forbidden to eat a limb from a living animal is not because Hashem told this to Adam Rishon, to Adam and Eve. It's because this is a commandment that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to us at Mount Sinai. Yeah. So there is a difference between the mitzvahs before Matan Torah, before the Torah was given, the mitzvahs after the Torah was given. But before we get into that, let's go further and understand the difference between the mitzvahs that were done by the nations of the world and the mitzvahs that were done by our patriarchs, by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The purpose of the seven laws of Noach, the purpose of those laws is in order to fulfill Hashem's intent in creation, l'shevus yitzara, that the world should be a inhabitable place, a proper setting for the Jewish people to make the world a home for Hashem. In other words, the goal of creation is that we should make the world a home for Hashem. But we should bring into the world something higher than the world. That's the purpose of creation. In order for creation to be suitable for that activity, that's why Hashem gave the seven laws of Noach, in order for that mankind should create the proper setting for that to happen. So, if someone is committing a transgression between man and man, man and God, he's disaligning creation from what it's meant to be. He's making creation not be suitable for the Jewish people to now make a home for Hashem in the world, because the world is not the way the world is meant to be for that. First, the world has to be a world. Once the world is a world, then the world could be a home for Hashem. Then we could do something more with the world. It reminds me of the saying, I don't know the author of this teaching, but it's definitely Mekubal Chalfitzis Yisrael. In our prayers, we say, Lo'elam Yehi Adam Yirei Shemayim Asesa. A person should always be God-fearing inside of himself. Within your own inner world, you should be God-fearing. But people say, if you look at the words carefully, it says, first of all, you should be a man. Then it says you should be God-fearing. Lo'el mi'adam, then you're Shemayim. First it says be a man, then it says to be God-fearing. You have to first be a man. So in a similar way, the laws of the Hashem gave to Noach and to Adam, those laws are about the world being just to be a proper world, to be the world the way it's meant to be. So when someone transgresses a law between man and man or man and God, he steals or worships idols. So then the world is a confused world, and it's not able to be a home for Hashem. And so therefore the laws that Hashem gave to the Gentiles are about it's a means to an end. It's about making the world be a better place, a place that we can now fulfill the purpose of creation, which is the Jewish people fulfilling the Torah and making the world home for Hashem. So their laws, just like the world itself is a means to an end, the world is for the sake of the Torah and Jewish people, so to the laws that Hashem gave to mankind are also, it's a means to an end, to create the world that Hashem wants it to be in order that we can later add something to it and lift the world above what the world is. But they and their laws are a means to an end. So the laws that Hashem gave to our patriarchs, the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to our grandparents, those laws aren't like the other laws. They're different. They don't yet have the character of the mitzvahs that we received at Mount Sinai, but they're still not the same as the mitzvahs that Hashem gave to mankind. The Gemara says, as we mentioned last time, the Gemara says that the world exists for 6,000 years, and the first 2,000 years, the first 2 millennia are chaos, the second 2 millennia are Torah. So the beginning of the time period of Torah is when Avraham Avinu is, I think, 52 years old. That's when the period of Torah begins. So Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov, with their mitzvahs that they're fulfilling, although the Torah wasn't given yet, they're about bringing the world something that's above the world. The commandments Hashem gave them is not about the world, it's about something higher than the world. So what then is the difference between the mitzvahs after the giving of the Torah and mitzvahs that they did, if they're both about bringing the world something higher than the world itself? So understand this, let's look at this passage in the Medrash. Medrash quotes a verse from Song of Songs, L'reach shmenecha tevim shemen turak shmecha. The Medrash comments and says there's a difference between a fragrance and the oil that produces the fragrance. And it says like this, it says that the mitzvahs that our forefathers fulfilled, they were like the fragrance, but we, after giving the Torah, we're like the oil itself. They're just like a fragrance, but we're the oil itself. What does that mean? What's the difference between the mitzvahs that are the fragrance and the oil? What does that mean? So there's two differences between two qualities of a fragrance that, well, as we'll see, go hand in hand, and how these two qualities express what the achievement was of the mitzvahs that were performed given the Torah, what they achieved and what they didn't achieve. A fragrance is not the thing itself. It just comes from something. Number one, it's called, in the language of Chassidus, it's a spashta of something. It's what comes out of something. It's not the thing itself, it's what comes out of something. And number two, a fragrance doesn't last forever. There's a fragrance, and because there was a party here last night, maybe there's some kind of a fragrance left over from what they did, but the fragrance will go away. Versus the oil itself, is the thing itself, and it doesn't go away. What does that have to do with the mitzvahs that our forefathers did, the mitzvahs that we do, after giving the Torah, fragrance, oil, what's going on? So Hashem gave us the Torah. The first words Hashem used were, I am the Lord your God. And Chassidus explains that those three words, I am the Lord your God, they are in a continuous progression from above to below. Each word is lower than the word before. Anoichi, the first word Hashem used, means I, and I doesn't just refer to something that's godly, or a godly world, or a godly light. I refers to the essence of Hashem. As the Zohar says, Anochi deleis ram is lebushum mus lebushum kaitz. I myself, who cannot be described and encapsulated by any letter, I'm beyond any name or I'm beyond any letter. It's like when Yaakov said to his father, when he asked him, who are you? He said, I am. And Rashi says, I am who I am. Only I know who I am. The end of the sentence was, Esav, your firstborn. But the first word Yaakov used was, I am. And Rashi says, I am who I am. Meaning that only I know who I am. So the word Anochi is about the essence of Hashem that is beyond any kind of any limitation. And even beyond, as we'll see, beyond being infinite either. Havaya Elokecha. Then there is the light of Hashem, which is called Havaya. And then there is light of Hashem, which is called Elokecha, which are lower. Havaya is about Hashem's infinity, transcendence, the power to produce miracles. And Elokecha is how Hashem said to each of us, I am your God personally. and animate every one of you individually. So today let's focus on the first word, Anoichi, I. And we learned that the Gemara says the word Anoichi is an acronym for the words. Anyone remember? Survey says, Ana nafshik savas yahavis. I, my soul, I wrote it and gave it. So unlike the mitzvahs that are before Mount Sinai, at Mount Sinai Hashem gave us his essence. So this is the first concept in a fragrance. The fragrance is not the thing itself. So to the mitzvahs before the giving of the Torah, didn't come from the essence of Hashem, literally from the essence of Hashem. They're only something that came from a godly light, something that comes from Hashem, but not connected to the essence of Hashem mamash. The mitzvahs before the giving of the Torah, they're like the fragrance, not like the oil. They're only something that comes, that they're godly, they're espashtus, they're not etzem. They're not the essence of Hashem mamash. They're just something which comes from Him, from Hashem's light, but not the essence of Hashem. The essence of Hashem is not present in the mitzvahs Hashem gave to our forefathers. That's why they're called a fragrance. It's only something which extends from something else, like the fragrance that comes from the oil, but not the oil itself. The mitzvahs after giving the Torah, they are from the essence of Hashem. And this brings us to a second difference between them. Second difference is that oil, a fragrance, the fragrance doesn't last. It goes away. Since it's not the essence, therefore it doesn't get absorbed. What does that mean? Let's look at an analogy from mitzvahs that are done even after giving the Torah. There's a discussion among Achreinim, among codifiers of Halacha and interpretations of Talmud. What is the difference between the rabbinic commandments and the biblical commandments? Or is there a difference? So one of the things that is discussed is Gavra and Chafetz. One way of understanding the difference between rabbinical commandments and biblical commandments is that biblical commandments change the item itself, versus rabbinic commandments, they don't change the item itself, they're just about the person performing the commandments. The rabbis, with their mitzvahs, they don't have the power to change the status of the item that they make a decree upon. They can merely tell the person, they can only affect the person who does the commandment, but they can't change the status of the thing itself. I'm thinking about this passage in Gemara. Rav Gidlon Merav discusses about whether a person can betroth a woman with a piece of bread on the day before Pesach at the time when it's forbidden to have benefit from the chametz rabbinically. In order for a marriage to be consummated, in order for it to be a Torah marriage, there has to be an item of value transferred from the groom to the bride. But biblically, this object does have value. Rabbinically, this object does not have value because the biblical prohibition of chametz is in the seventh hour. Rabbinical prohibition of chametz is in the sixth hour. So if he gives a woman this chametz in the sixth hour, are they married? Did he give her something of value? So the Gemara's conclusion is that it's not considered something of value because even though it's not biblically forbidden to have pleasure, but by all intents and purposes, she can't have benefit from it. And since she can't have benefit from it, so therefore, it doesn't matter whether or not it's biblically forbidden or not, it's valueless for her. There's more to the Gemara called Mekash Lastarabon Mekash. Whenever a chosen and Kal get married, he always says before giving her the ring, he says, I'm marrying you like the law of Moshe and Yisrael, like the law of Moshe and the Jewish people, meaning the law of Moshe and the rabbis, and therefore he makes a condition that the marriage can only work with the consent of halacha, of not just the biblical halacha, but also the rabbinic halacha, and therefore biblically he's not married unless the rabbis put their stamp on it. But here it's more of a biblical issue because there's no value to this chametz to her. But you see again in the nuance, there is a value to the chametz. There is a value. The object itself is worth something, but it's not valuable to her. To her, it doesn't have any value. So it's a gavra cheftza. Gavra means the person, cheftza means the object. The biblical commandments, they affect the object itself. The rabbinical commandments are more about the person. And so the commandments of that the sages have given us, they don't have the ability to change the status of the thing itself. It's a discussion, that's one opinion. And the Rebbe himself, it's a whole a wealth of information of many different letters and sikhs to Rebbe about the subject. But I just wanted to bring this out so to understand, give some kind of a context, to understand the difference between the mitzvahs before the giving of the Torah and after the giving of the Torah, that the mitzvahs that were done before the giving of the Torah, by the way, parenthetically, in chapter 8 of Tanya, the author right away says that the rabbinical commandments are, the rabbinical prohibitions are, when the rabbis issue a prohibition on something, that item gets its energy from the three impure klippas, meaning that there is a change in the status of the thing itself. So clearly in Tanya, Chassidus, the Alter Rebbe says that there definitely is a difference in energy in the item that the rabbis forbade. That item now gets its energy from the Shalosh Klippas HaTemeis. So there is a change.
What? From what was the word?
The three impure klippas. Cheskel, describing, uses three words and those three words are, Chassidus explains, describing evil, are about the three impure klippas that can never be elevated. So that's all prohibited things get their nourishment from those three impure klippas. Ruach Sa'ara, a great wind, Anan Gadol, a big cloud. So the words he used are described, to the three adjectives he used describe are about the three impure klippas, which are the sustenance for all non-kosher things, including things that the rabbis made forbidden. Okay, so in a similar way, the mitzvahs before the giving of the Torah, they didn't have the power to change the status of things. So let's say, for example, the Zohar famously says that when Yaakov Avinu was mating the sheep of Lavan and he used these sticks, he peeled the sticks before they mated in order to cause them to have different kind of offspring, they would look at the sticks. The Zohar says that Yaakov, with his sticks, was accomplishing the same thing that we accomplish when we put on tefillin. So those sticks may have facilitated Yaakov connecting to some godly energy that's similar to the mitzvahs that we do today, but the sticks themselves did not retain those at holiness. The sticks themselves did not remain holy forever. The sticks may have changed somewhat. They're not Yaakov, you know, we use them, they have some kind of value, but the holiness can't stay in the sticks. Why can't it stay in the sticks? It's because of the first thing. Why does the fragrance go away? Because it's not the essence, because the thing itself isn't here. Since it's not the thing itself, therefore the fragrance goes away. Because the mitzvahs our forefathers did was not connecting to the essence of Hashem, therefore it couldn't stay in the physical world. Why are those two things connected? In order to connect two things, the two things have to have a connection between them in the first place. If you try to connect two things that don't have a connection between them, so then eventually they're going to disband. If for two things to connect, they have to have some commonality. So the connection between the spiritual and the physical is an infinite gap between them. So the word kedusha, holiness, means it's separate versus the physical reality as a definition and as measurement and it's grasped by our five senses. So it's completely different to holiness. So in order to connect them, they can't possibly connect. How could they connect? It can't stay. In order to connect them, there has to be something that's beyond them both that can facilitate this convergence. It's only because the mitzvahs Hashem gave us at Mount Sinai come from the essence of Hashem, who's not just beyond being finite, but also being beyond infinite, and therefore Hashem causes there to be the parameters of the physical and the spiritual to suspend and for them to join each other. Because our mitzvahs come from the essence of Hashem literally, that's why it's possible you do a mitzvah like tefillin, and the tefillin itself remains holy forever. The object is holy. How could the object be holy? It's a physical object. Is it holy or is it physical? It can't be both, but it can't be both according to the parameters of the physical or the spiritual. But Hashem, Anoichi, since our mitzvahs come from the essence of Hashem Mamish, because they come from Hashem's essence, therefore Hashem can connect them both, and Hashem can cause His infinite light to rest and to stay in the physical object. So, this is the difference between the mitzvahs before the giving of the Torah, the mitzvahs after the giving of the Torah, the mitzvahs before the giving of the Torah. They are called fragrances, even the mitzvahs that our forefathers did, that they, first of all, they didn't compromise the essence of Hashem, literally, and second of all, they didn't retain, they don't make a lasting effect on the physical world. So that's why the Talmud says that before the giving of the Torah, there was a decree that the heavens and the earth cannot be connected. The Talmud gives the famous example, the king of Rome, the king of Syria don't get along, and they make a rule that no one from Rome can go to Syria, no one from Syria can go up to Rome. And so too, before the giving of the Torah, there was a law. The law was, Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem, Ba'aretz Nasan LaMiladam. Heaven belongs to God and the earth belongs to people. They can't connect to each other. So the words of the Talmud are, there was a decree. But the word decree, Gezerah, comes to the word Gezer, which also means to cut. There was a cut. There was a separation between the physical and the spiritual. They couldn't come together. And it's natural. It's not that there was a decree. It's impossible for them to be connected. They're in two different worlds. And after giving the Torah, there was this godly novelty, this wondrous godly gift that a mitzvah can bring the essence of Hashem into. Because a mitzvah comes from the essence of Hashem, therefore it can bring kedusha, holiness, into the physical reality in the way that it stays. This is also the reason why it seems to be a contradiction, but we'll get to it in the next class. But Avraham Avinu, when he wanted his servant Eliezer to make an oath, he told Eliezer to hold on to his bris milah when he made the oath. Why told his bris milah? Because nowadays, when a person makes an oath, how do they make an oath? They have to hold on to a holy object. So they hold on to a pair of tefillin. They hold on to a sefer Torah. You hold on to the Torah and you swear by the Torah that your words are true. So there were no holy objects before the giving of the Torah. The closest thing that was holy was the mitzvah of circumcision. The mitzvah of circumcision, as we'll see, had some similarity, some characteristics that were similar to the mitzvahs that were after giving the Torah. But it still wasn't the same thing, which we'll get to in the next class. But just to summarize what we learned today, that the mitzvahs that were done before the giving of the Torah are divided in two categories: mitzvahs that Hashem gave to our patriarchs, mitzvahs that Hashem gave to the rest of the nations of the world, and the mitzvahs that Hashem gave to our patriarchs are about bringing something to the world that's above the world, make the world a home for Hashem, to prepare for the giving of the Torah. But still, they weren't yet able to accomplish the same thing that our mitzvahs do after the giving of the Torah, and that's because, as the Talmud classifies them, they were like fragrances. What does it mean? Like fragrances. So we point out the two differences between a fragrance and the thing itself. First of all, fragrance is not the thing itself, it's just what comes out of the thing. And second of all, a fragrance dissipates. And so to the mitzvahs that were given to us before the giving of the Torah, they weren't from the essence of godliness. And therefore also, they weren't able to impact and to be retained and absorbed by the physical objects with which those mitzvahs were performed. However, the mitzvahs that we do after giving the Torah, compared to the oil itself, that they do draw down from the essence of Hashem, and the kedusha and the holiness does remain. And God willing, Hashem will look a little bit more in the mitzvah of circumcision in the next class. Any questions or comments? Yes.
When we make our pledge to get married, we say according to the laws of Moses
and Israel.
And Israel.